Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
What a wonderful song that is. I love to tell the story. It will be my theme to glory. I love to tell the story. The story of Jesus and His name. May we go our daily lives every single day telling the story of Jesus and His gospel. This morning, if you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Last week, I mentioned that we were going to have three sermons, including the sermon last week, and then two more sermons. And after doing my study and preparation this week, I decided to just have one more sermon. So today, we will be concluding the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And next week, we will begin a series on prayer and talking about what it means to pray, what prayer looks like, why we should pray, all things kind of prayer, and we'll also include some fasting in there as well. And so I look forward to the next few weeks and what is to come. But this morning, beginning in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to read the whole chapter this morning. And beginning in verse 1, Paul says this, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him accordingly to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord," here in verse 17, "but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into the heavenly kingdom, His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila in the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, as we come to your word this morning, we come to the time of preaching your word. God, I pray that you would just use me as a vessel for your kingdom this morning, Lord, that I preach with simplicity, with clarity, and passion. And God, as we look to see and understand that we are people that need to keep the charge, Lord, that we will leave here today willing and ready to keep the charge that you've given to us. God, we just pray all this morning in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Have you ever been given some hard instructions, some challenging instructions, some instructions that you're like, I don't really know, I want to do that? You ever had that happen before? I know I've had it several times. I'm certain that all of you have had at some point in your life been given instructions or you've been charged with something that we thought was hard. This is exactly what is happening here in our passage today in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Timothy is being given instructions. He's being charged to do something that honestly doesn't sound that great. It doesn't sound that easy. Doesn't sound that splendid. With the early church facing persecution, facing suffering, with false teachers spreading all sorts of lies and doing all sorts of things, with his mentor, Paul, bound with chains, imprisoned, awaiting his death. Being a Christian in Timothy's time didn't sound like a very joyful thing. It didn't sound like a very fun and happy time to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Being a leader of Christians sounded even worse. And in the middle of all of this persecution, all this suffering, Timothy is charged with some instructions. Instructions that don't sound very exciting. This is not what you want to hear. It's not what you want to be told. And church, the same is true for us today. There are going to come times in our lives as Christians where we are going to be instructed, where we are going to be charged to do things, where God's Word is going to teach us something. There may come in a time where God may call us to something, maybe a missionary, maybe a pastor, maybe a teacher, whatever it may be that the Lord may call you to. And to live in obedience to that, it's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. We're not going to want to live in that obedience. But church, even when being a Christian is all not sunshine and roses. Let me say that differently. Even when being a Christian is not all sunshine and roses. I corrected myself there. We are to keep the charge. We are to live in obedience to God's Word and what He has called us to. As much as I wanted to title today's sermon, Preach the Word, specifically based off of verse 2 there, where Timothy's charged to preach the Word, I've instead titled it, Keep the Charge. Because as important as it is for Timothy to preach the Word, it's more important that he keeps the charge and lives in obedience to what God has called him to. The same is true for us. As much as we are to share the gospel and proclaim Jesus' word, we are being charged to keep the charge, to do and live in obedience to what God has called us to do. And church, I want you to know that God has called you to something. He has given you a gift. He has given you a ministry. He has called you to be obedient to His word, and we are to keep the charge. And what God has called us to, even when it's hard, even when it's challenging, even when it doesn't sound like fun, even when we don't want to, even when we don't think we would be good at it. We're to keep the charge. For Timothy, this charge was, as verse 2 says, to preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with complete patience and teaching. Timothy was charged with this. This was his instructions. This was what God was calling to him to do in the middle of persecution and suffering. Would you have been willing to do that? Would you have been willing to keep the charge, to preach the word, knowing that your mentor who's writing you these very words is bound with chains, awaiting his death. I think we all would have found it hard. But even in the hard times, as I've already stated, we must keep the charge. We must live in obedience to what God has called us to do. Church, as we close out the book of 2 Timothy today, here in chapter 4, we're going to see five reasons to keep the charge. Five reasons to keep the charge. And I know what you're thinking, five reasons? We're going to be here to 1 o'clock, Pastor. We're going to be here forever. Promise, we're not going to be here for that long. We'll maybe just be here till 1 o'clock, you know, or 2 o'clock. You know, I'm not sure yet. I'm just kidding. But five reasons. The first reason that we see to keep the charge is we keep the charge in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. We keep the charge in the presence of God and Christ Jesus. Looking back at verse 1, I'm clicking, Tucker. Just know that. Whenever I do this, you just click it for me, okay? Looking at verse 1 there, Paul writes, I charge you in the presence of God. I'm going to pause here for just a second because I think this is important for us to realize, important for us to look at. When we are called to something, when we are charged to something as Christians, we should do what we have been called to in light of God. In light of who God is. Paul isn't saying, hey, God's watching you. He's got His eyes on you. He's waiting on you to mess up. He's waiting on you to fail. No, Paul is saying that we should keep the charge out of reverence for who God is. We should keep the charge because God is holy and righteous and transcendent. Church, I think sometimes we don't see God as reverent and holy as He is. I know we hear often people say, oh, just pray, just talk to God like He's your friend, right? I've heard that all my life, and while in a sense that is true, we should talk to God like He is our friend, I think sometimes we begin to view God as our friend. And we begin to see Him as less than reverent and holy as He is. I guarantee you, if the Lord were to walk through those doors right now, we would all be sitting here in reverence and awe of who He is, not running up to Him going, oh, you're my best friend, right? We have lost reverence for who God is. And right here, Paul is teaching us that we keep the charge living in light of who God is. And when we see and understand and live and keep the charge in who God is, you know what we will do? Our lives will reflect our reverence of Him. We will live holy as He is. We will live righteous. We will keep the charge because we know that He is who He is. But seeing God as less reverent and less than who He really is, not only does it happen to us as individuals, it also happens in churches, congregations. When churches lose reverence of who God is, you know what we don't do? We don't live for His glory. We begin to live for our glory. We begin to do what we think is right and what we think we should do rather than what God tells us we should do as a church. We get caught up in the, well, 25 years ago we did it this way and we've kept doing it and yet it's not working anymore. And we keep doing it, right? We've lost our reverence for who God is and we continue to think that we can just continue doing this. When churches lose reverence, the preacher doesn't preach the Word of God. The members don't want to hear the truth. The worship is all about me, myself, and I, rather than God and who He is and His gospel. The people of the church only care for themselves and what they can get out of church rather than how they can serve others. Church, may we as individuals and as a congregation never lose reverence for who God is. And know that we have been charged as individuals and as a church to live for Him and His glory. But that's not all. In verse 1, we also see, Paul goes on and says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom. We are to keep the charge in light of knowing that Christ is the judge. And we will be judged as Christians for what we have done. We will not be judged at the great white throne judgment of whether we are believers or not believers, because we've already been judged as believers if you have believed in Jesus Christ. But at that great white throne judgment, we are going to be judged for what we have done for Him. And the very person that's going to be doing that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We should keep the charge, knowing that Christ is one day going to return and His kingdom will be fully established. And on that day, we too will be judged for what we have done. Church, there will be a day when Christ is going to come and He's going to take His people home. And oh, how we look forward to that day. Oh, how we long for that day. May we be faithful to keep the charge until He returns. Moving on to our second reason here, we keep the charge by preaching the Word and being ready. We keep the charge by preaching the Word and being ready. I've already read in verse 2, Timothy is being charged to preach the Word. Be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. This is his charge. This was what God was calling Timothy to do. Now we must remember who Timothy is, right? Timothy is a pastor of the Ephesian church. So the primary context of these words being written here is to Timothy as a pastor. And as we look at this passage now, in today's time, these words have the most impact on pastors, right? People like myself. This charge, you could say, is exactly what I have been charged to as your pastor. To preach the Word. To be ready in season, out of season. To reprove, to rebuke, to exhort. To complete, do all that with complete patience and teaching. The pastor, regardless of what the people want to hear, regardless of what they want the pastor to teach on, to preach on, or anything along those lines, regardless of who sits in the pews, the one thing the pastor must absolutely do is preach the Word. This Word, and only this Word. And what exactly is the Word? We learned last week, chapter 3, verse 16, that the Word is the sacred writings, it's the Scripture that had been breathed out by God. The pastor is to preach the Word of God. Paul did not tell Timothy here to preach Timothy's words, to preach Paul's words, to preach anybody else's words. And today, we often hear people say, oh, live your truth, preach his truth, preach their truth. Right? I've heard that countless times. No, we don't preach anybody's truth, but the truth of God's Word. And in this pulpit, in the very classrooms, down the hall, the Word of God must be what is preached and what is taught. And we must never, ever waver from it. In a world where truth is confused, the truth must be exactly what is preached. And regardless of whether it's in season or out of season, it still must be preached. And it is the very Word of God that the preacher uses to reprove and to rebuke and to exhort. And church, believe it or not, this charge also includes you in some ways. You as members of this church, as Christians, you have a responsibility to never let something other than the Word of God be preached in this pulpit. Be taught in those classrooms. If you ever hear me, if you ever hear some other preacher, if you ever hear a preacher after I am long gone from here, if that ever comes, you have a standard. He has a standard. And that is the Word of God. You have a responsibility to take a stand and keep the charge to only have the Word of God preached in this church. Far too many churches are afraid to stand up to so-called pastors preaching something contrary to the gospel of Jesus. But you also have a responsibility that when the pastor reproves you, I know this doesn't sound fun now, does it? But you also have a responsibility when the pastor reproves you, when the pastor rebukes you, or exhort, or another way that word can be understood, encourage you. Instead of getting defensive, instead of getting upset and hurt, instead of getting all out of whack, you trust that the pastor has your best interest in mind. Now, he's just living out what he's called to do as your pastor. To listen and to receive his encouragement well. Because all the pastor wants you to do is to live in obedience to God's holy word. Church, this charge includes every single one of us, and we must keep the charge, or else this church would no longer be a church of truth, a church of the word, but rather a church that wants to have their ears tickled with lies. This moves us forward to reason number three. We keep the charge even when people don't endure sound teaching or sound doctrine. We keep the charge even when people don't endure sound doctrine. In verse 3 and 4, Paul writes, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." Paul is looking out to the future, and he is giving a warning to Timothy that eventually people are not going to want to listen to this. That people are not going to want to listen to the truth. That they will no longer want to know and hear all of that. They don't want to hear the word of God, as they will have itching ears for anything other than the truth of God's word. And these itching ears, you know what they will do? They will find somebody who will scratch them. They will find someone. They will find someone that's got the longest Q-tip you can find to stick down there and scratch it. They will do it. They're going to do that. They will find someone to preach what they want to hear. They will find someone to preach them a health and wealth, prosperity gospel. They will find someone to preach them that God is, he's just a God of love and he never judges or anything like that. That he's not a God of wrath. They will find someone to preach a gospel contrary to the truth of God's word. And let me tell you, church, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of so-called churches who have found someone to scratch their itching ears. And it's unfortunate. Sad. I don't know about you, but when I drive around here in Nashville, or when I'm traveling on vacation or going from a city to another city or something like that, I tend to always find the churches. Anybody else do that? You tend to always see the churches anywhere and everywhere they are. And you begin looking at them. And a lot of these churches, they have a way of telling you whether they are of the truth or not of the truth. Just by what they have waving outside. And let me tell you, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. You immediately know that these people are people not of the Word of God. And church, even though we live in a world where far more people want to hear anything but the truth, we must keep the charge to preach nothing but the Word of God alone. It's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. And just because there might be more people who are listening to lies rather than truth, doesn't mean we should jump ship too. As a matter of fact, Paul says in verse 5, we must be sober-minded. Endure the suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill the ministry. If your mind is not sober, if you aren't clear-headed, if you don't have self-control, you too will get an itching ear. For lies, for anything but the truth. Church, I want to exhort you this morning to keep watch on your very own self. I appreciate what the King James Version says, but watch thou in all things. Watch yourself. Keep an eye on yourself. Because if you don't keep a watch on yourself, if you don't remain sober-minded and clear-headed on what the truth of God's Word is, then you too will become a person with itching ears for lies. And you will look for it. And you will find a teacher or a preacher that will preach that to scratch your itching ears. We must keep the charge, even when those around us don't want to endure sound teaching. Reason number four, we keep the charge by keeping the faith. We keep the charge by keeping the faith. Paul, beginning in verse 6, begins to point Timothy toward a reward that comes to those who keep the faith. And beginning in verse 6, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." Paul knows what's coming here. Paul literally is on his way to his death. He knows that his death is near. He knows that he's about to be killed for the faith, that he's about to be martyred. This word departure here is like that of a boat that has departed the dock. The ropes have been untied, they've tossed them in the boat, and the dock has been pushed away, or the boat has been pushed away. They have departed. Paul is understanding that he was well on his way to being in the presence of God. And as he is sitting there awaiting his death, he goes on in verse 7 and he writes, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Paul knew that he was on his way to being in the presence of God because he has fought the good fight. Because he has ran the great race. Because he's finished the race. Because he's fulfilled his ministry and kept the charge for himself to what God has called him to. Because he has kept the faith. Church, may we be like Paul. I pray that I am remembered as a person that kept the faith all the way to the end of my life. And I pray that you will do the same. When our faith is strong, we must keep the faith. And when our faith is weak, even still, we must keep the faith. To be saved, church, to inherit eternal life, is simply to keep the faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until the last day. And church, that sounds hard, doesn't it? Sounds like work. Sounds challenging. Sounds like I might mess it up, right? What if I make a mistake? What if I don't? What if I fail? What if I at some point do lose my faith or something? Church, you want to know something? Our faith is not dependent upon ourselves. Our faith is dependent upon the Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of Ephesians chapter 1 or chapter 2, verse 8, where it goes on to say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." Faith and salvation are both gifts given to us from God above. The faith we have, it was gifted to us. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says, "I am sure of this, that He, God, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Church, God gives us faith and He sustains our faith. He gives it to us and He sustains our faith all because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you today at some point in your life felt the call of the Lord on your heart and you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, truly placed your faith in Him, repented of your sins, you, my friend, no matter how strong or weak your faith is, you will be kept until the end. You will be kept until the end. And church, what an encouragement that is. What a joy that is. What a comfort and a relief it is to know that, as Romans 8 teaches, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. We are His for all of eternity future. And that, church, is why we keep the charge. We keep the charge by keeping the faith, knowing that He's going to keep us. And for those that fight the good fight and finish the race and keep the faith, as verse 8 says, "Henceforth, there is laid for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved His appearing." Church, I have no idea what this crown looks like. But the very reason we will be awarded this crown is not because of anything we have done, but because of the righteous blood of Jesus. Church, we keep the charge because of Jesus has paid it all. We keep the charge because Jesus' blood has washed us clean. We keep the charge because by the blood of Jesus we have been justified, as Romans 5:9 says. We keep the charge as we look forward to the day in which we will receive the crown of righteousness. And if my interpretation of Revelation is correct, we will be given those crowns. We'll walk to the feet of Jesus. And we will say, "You are worthy of all the glory." And we will cast Him at His feet. Moving forward to reason number 5. Church, I've already just touched on it just a tad. But reason number 5 is this: we keep the charge knowing the Lord will bring us safely into His heavenly kingdom. We keep the charge knowing the Lord will bring us safely into His heavenly kingdom. Paul, in verse 9 through the end of the chapter, is just kind of catching Timothy up on life. What's happened? He asked Timothy to come see him, right? Paul's still hopeful that Timothy will be able to see him. He also asked Timothy to bring him his jacket, bring me my cloak, right? He also tells Timothy of several people in his life and what they have done. Some have deserted him. Some have continued to be with him and continued to follow Jesus. He warns them of Alexander the Great, or Alexander not the Great, the coppersmith, right? Alexander the coppersmith, who has done them great harm. And then in verse 17 and 18, Paul says, "But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth." And in verse 18, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul knew, without a shadow of a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Lord would rescue him from every evil deed and that the Lord would bring him safely into His heavenly kingdom. Church, we keep the charge because we have peace and we have comfort and we have joy this morning, knowing that our God, our Savior, He will one day bring us safely into His heavenly kingdom. What an encouragement that is. What a wonderful and splendid reason to keep the charge. To know that no matter what happens in this world, our God is going to bring us safely home to Him. And we will spend all of eternity in heaven with our Savior, Jesus Christ. We come to the conclusion of the book of 2 Timothy. I hope that you have seen that this book is filled with the gospel. It's filled with so much of the gospel of Jesus and the importance of keeping the gospel. In the very first sermon on the book, and I did an overview sermon, I highlighted 4 kind of themes of 2 Timothy. And I talked about how these are Paul's dying words. The theme: guard the good deposit, suffer for the gospel, continue in the gospel, and proclaim the gospel. These 4 themes highlight everything that we need to do in our very own world today. Our world wants to destroy the gospel of Jesus. Our world wants to falsify it, to mix it up, to throw other things in there, to mess it up. That's what our world wants to do. Our world wants to get rid of Jesus and the gospel. They want this word to go away. We have a responsibility, church, to live out these four themes from the gospel, or from 2 Timothy. We have a responsibility to guard the good deposit. We have a responsibility to suffer for the gospel, to continue in the gospel, and proclaim the gospel. As we sang earlier, I love to tell the story. We have a responsibility to tell that story to all, to any who will listen, to any who will hear it. And we trust that the Lord will convict them and will draw them to themselves in salvation. This world is a lost and dying world, and they need more of the gospel of Jesus, not less. May we defend it, and may we proclaim it to any around. May we keep the charge. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you right now. And God, I'm just so incredibly grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord. I'm so grateful for the mercy and the grace that you have bestowed upon us, all because of the blood of Jesus. God, this morning, I just pray that you will be with each and every individual here this morning, that you will help us all to keep the charge, that you will help us all to know and understand that you have called us to something, that you have given us a gift, and that you have commanded us to keep the charge, Lord. And God, I just pray this morning we will do that, that you will help us, that you will give us the strength that we need, that we will look to you for guidance, Lord, and that you will lead us. You will lead us in what you have called us to do. Lord, I just pray that you help us to defend the gospel of Jesus and help us to proclaim the gospel to Jesus. Pray all this in your holy and precious name. Amen.